You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Father's Unfailing, Transforming Love, is a special message from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and is taught by Mike Cranford. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Godly men are men need friends. Men need friends. And God's blessed me with a very special friend. His name's Mike Cranford. And I met Mike because I started dating a lady named Cinda Harwood. And Cinda's was a part of a church that Mike was a disciple leader there. As a matter of fact, he discipled Cinda's little brother. Mike and I became friends, and we ended up going to seminary together. And as a matter of fact, as I fought to get B's in my classes, he just kept acing everything. He's an amazing friend, and we've known each other a long time, 25 or 26 years. So Mike goes to this church. He's a member of this church. And I don't know if you've had a chance to meet my brother Mike. He's got three beautiful kids. As we've been sharing life, because that's what friends do, my brother's been going through a really bad divorce. God says he hates divorce. I don't like it either. Does anyone like divorce? Is anybody in here that was divorced really enjoyed it and can't wait to do it again? Did you love that? Divorce is hard. And he's gone through one of those. And I've watched how he's been such an amazing father to his kids through it all. And I asked him about a month or so. I said, Mike, for Father's Day, would you come and give the message? I think you're an amazing father and an amazing disciple of Jesus or follower of Jesus going through this. And so I asked him to give the morning message. So would you welcome my friend Mike Cranford up to speak?
Thank you. Love you, dude.
Good morning. My dad is here. He's turning 92, and I just want to honor him before I start. Love you, Dad. When my daughter Logan was 3 years old, she did something that really scared me. And I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but I think she was crawling over her bed rail. And I walked in on the verge of watching her really hurt herself. And it scared me. I got angry. I raised my voice. I think it's the first time she had ever seen me get angry at her. And she started to get hysterical. And I said, it's okay, baby. It's okay. But she was crying. She started shaking, really upset. And I said, Logan, what's wrong? And her reply to me was, do you still love me? I won't ever forget that. That was for me the moment that I realized the impact that I had in the lives of my kids, the opportunity I had and the responsibility I had. And I was a little worried because I know I make mistakes. And I knew I had to become more than I was, that I needed God to work in my life so that I could be what she needed me to be as she grew up. We have a greater purpose as fathers. We have a transforming purpose in the lives of our kids. We can heal and restore. We can affirm them. We can lift them up. We can build self-esteem, give them security. And when they fail, if we've been there for them, they know that they can move ahead. And that they know when they do that we're going to be there for them. And they also know that we're going to be there if they need to go back to us. That's our responsibility. It's what they desperately need. What I saw in her face, it's what we all need to know that we're loved, no matter what's happened. So that's what I want to share with you today. That's what the talk's about. This transforming love that we bring into the lives of our kids. Help our kids when they fail. It's also about the transforming love that we receive from our Heavenly Father when we fail as His children. If we let Him change us, if we accept His love and if we offer up the failures in our life to Him. The passage we're going to look at is Luke chapter 15, and it's a passage that you've probably read before. It's a familiar passage. Let me set the stage for you. Jesus is speaking to a crowd. There's a crowd gathering, and part of that crowd, a large part of that crowd, are sinners. And these people are social outcasts. They're on the margins of Jewish society. Some of them are tax collectors, which the Jewish people consider them traitors. They were collecting taxes and investigating people on behalf of the Roman government. And they were just thought of as disobedient people that didn't follow God's laws. And then you also have in that same group Pharisees. And these are people who observed the law, observed holiness in their lives. And they looked over and saw the sinners, and these were people that to them deserved to be punished by God for what they had done in their lives. But these people were clinging to Jesus, listening to His words, gathering, and He was drawing these people in. And it was not even just that He was drawing them in and speaking to them, it was that Jesus would dine with these people. And if you broke bread with people in ancient Near Eastern culture, if you broke bread with someone, that was identification with them. You're saying to the people around, I'm like this person, and this person's like me socially. It's a social connection. And so you can see these Pharisees, they're having a big problem with Jesus because they're thinking God doesn't identify with sin. And there's something that's right about that. But there's something they're completely missing about God. And it's the most important thing to know about Him. And it's the most important thing that we need to know about offering love to our kids. And it's the most important thing that we need to know about God offering love to us. So Jesus tells a series of parables. And here's the thing about parables. Parables all have a surprise in them, something that you don't expect. And if you understand what that thing is, it's the thing that Jesus can use to change you. So we're going to look at the third parable in this sequence on this subject. It's important to us as fathers, and it's important to us to understand our Heavenly Father if we read it. Before we start, though, I have a caveat. This talk is, I'm not meaning this to be a guide about parenting in any and every situation. This talk is about fatherhood is about many things. This talk is about one thing. But it's about the most important thing that we offer our kids. And it's about the most important thing that God offers us. So let's look at Luke chapter 15. Let me read this to you. So don't read with me. Let me read it to you. Try to hear it as if you're standing in the crowd listening to Jesus. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So we have in this story a father, and he's a picture of our Heavenly Father. But it's also a model for us about what it means to be a father, because we're called to love people the way God loves us. That's our calling. And you think about what Jesus asked Peter. We just talked about it last week. "Do you love me, Peter?" He's saying, "Then do what I did. Shepherd my sheep." Jesus told his disciples, "As I have loved you," and he means the same as, "I've loved you, so you should love one another." And do you know that verse in Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church exactly as Christ loved the church, sacrificially, like that. You married guys, do you want to just kind of skim by that verse? Sometimes when she's mad at you or, you know, she's just wrong about something, do you just want to kind of skim by that? But the reality is, God expects us to love people the way He loves them. That's our responsibility. And that means loving our children the same way God loves His children. So Jesus starts the story focused on the son. The son, he wants to be free. He doesn't want to follow his father's rules anymore. He wants to go out and have fun and call his own shots. How weird's that? I mean, that never happens, right? He thinks if he turns away from everything that he's been raised to understand, if he turns away from all the great things his father's done to him, and he gets that chance to do whatever he wants, that he's going to be happy. That's what he thinks. And isn't that what we think is going to make us happy also, this thought that I get to do whatever I want? And so he leaves, but things don't end up that way. He doesn't end up happy. He ends up empty. And not just empty and poor, with none of the blessings left that his father gave him. He ends up degraded. He's a Jew who is tending pigs. Pigs are ceremonially unclean animals for Jews, and he's tending them. And it's even worse than that, because he's not just tending pigs. He's starving and longing to eat the food that the pigs are eating. So because of his decisions and his foolishness, he's hit total rock bottom. And what this is telling us, it's common and understood by the Jews, is that God's blessings follow obedience. If you go your own way, at some point things go wrong. Because the good things of the world, the things that you can, you know, exert your own will over and enjoy, those things are temporary. You can lose everything if you just stay on that path long enough and do what you want to do. Our kids are going to chase after temporary happiness. We chase after temporary happiness. So the question is not what's going to happen when it comes to an end, because everything in this world that the world considers good comes to an end. The question is, when it ends, when it goes wrong, what do we go back to? A father's love guides his children so that they have something to go back to. When we fail or become desperate, we turn back to the truth and love we have known before. So this is our responsibility, number one, as fathers, is to lay a foundation for our kids. It's to build something up, a vision for them, an understanding of what it means to live and trust God and live under His love, so that they have that to go to. Because we can't control the decisions they make after a certain age. We can kind of up to a point, but then after that we can't. All we can do is make sure that when they fail, when their own efforts to make themselves happy out doing their own thing end, that they have something to go back to. It's not about control. Sometimes we get caught up in that. If you try to control people, though, it's going to fail at some point. It's going to backfire on you. I had a friend, a dear friend, he's in ministry, a wonderful Christian guy, raised his kids in the church, and when his son turned 18, his son let him know, I don't believe in God, and I'm just going to leave and do my own thing. And my friend was hurting. And I had to imagine what a failure he felt like, thinking back on what mistakes he must have made for that to have happened. But you know something? We do the same thing as God's children. And God hasn't failed. It's just a decision that we make. So I told him, listen, you raised him in Christ. You loved him. You modeled faith before him. There's going to come a day when he'll come to his senses. And when he does, when things don't work out the way that he's hoping, he's going to come back and return to the Lord. We guide our children so that they can make their way back to us and then through us to the Lord. So it requires a connection. We have to model something to our kids so that they come back to the Lord. I talk with my kids. It's been a real burden of mine, especially over the last year to 2 years with my kids, is to teach them about discipleship and about what it means to follow Christ through whatever things in your life. And part of it's just knowing that they're surrounded by increasingly secular beliefs and all kinds of things out in the media that are bizarre. I want to teach them about what it means to really trust Him. And we were talking about it one night. We were having this big talk, and I had this idea. And I stood up and I called my daughter Leilani up. And I said, okay, baby, you stand here. This was just about a month ago. I said, turn around, close your eyes, cross your hands over your chest, lock your knees. I said, fall back right now and I'm going to catch you and you're not going to get hurt. And she fell right back. She didn't even hesitate. And there's hardwood down there, right? She fell right back, caught her. And I knew she would. But then I said, now I want you to picture, that's not me. Because one day I'm not going to be here anymore. That's your Heavenly Father. That's what it means. Because He loves you more than I ever could. And one day when I'm gone, He'll be there to catch you and to help you in your life. That's why we're here. With that calling, that mission, to love them. With a love that we don't have just out of our natural selves, but a love that comes from Him. So that when things go wrong and we're not there for them, they'll turn to Him. And I want to say, I don't always get this right. I mean, I'm on a journey just like every dad here, and I've gone through times where I feel like I push my kids away from the Lord and make mistakes, and sometimes we model behavior that isn't going to help them, but sometimes we try to control instead of guide, make different kinds of mistakes. We ultimately can't control anyone except ourselves. And that's our calling as fathers, is to live a life that will guide them back to Him. Okay, verse 20, I'm going to read. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So many possibilities for how the father could have reacted. He could have been angry. I mean, the son just blew a fortune that was his money that's gone. He could have had his pride wounded because he'd raised his son to live a certain way, and here, what, his son's a disappointment to him and he ignored everything he's been taught. He could have felt indignation, like, hey, my son should pay a price for this. He should be punished for what he did. He can't get away with this. That's not good. All those things, though, help to create distance between us and the people we love. He sets all those things aside. What he offers the son is not the things which his sense of justice demands. It's not the things that the son deserves for what he did. What he offers his son is what he needs in that moment. And it's what we need, because we all fail. When we own our failure and turn away from it, we need mercy. Father's love mends what is broken. So the son turns back because he owns his sin. He knows that he deserves nothing because of what he's done. Says, I'll come back as one of my father's servants. I've blown it. He could have tried to dig himself out and kept going, but he didn't. So he turns back to what he knows to be true, and he does what he can to make it right before his dad and before heaven. See, that's repentance. You have to come back. Own your failure and make things right if you want to move ahead with God's blessing. When he does repent, and it's important here that he does to understand this story, the father's response is mercy and nothing else. It's all the son needs. It's what our kids need when they fail. Mercy. As long as they learn the lesson. And it's what we need as children of God, and he offers the same thing to us. But we struggle with mercy. It's hard for us because we have pride. A number of years ago, I was at a dinner with a lady and her dad. The dad had been harsh and critical to her his entire life. He's an atheist. He believes that people are actually improved and will succeed if they're treated harshly and critically, that they'll rise above that. He actually believes this. And his daughter was wounded and felt like she never had a dad who loved her for who she was. He wanted respect from his daughter. And as they're sitting there, I'm looking at him, and I realize he loves his daughter, and he has no way to communicate that to her, and she has no way to see that. So she goes into the bathroom, and I'm sitting there with him, and I normally don't give people advice that they don't ask for, but I have this narrow window with this man, and I lean over and I say to him, tell her that you love her and that she means everything to you. And his eyes got big and filled with tears, and he couldn't say anything. He was just staring at me. She walks back out of the bathroom, sits down, and he says nothing. Because it would mean owning 40 years of the course he took and admitting that he had made a mistake and he couldn't do it. And you'd think sad that that would be the case, but you know something? I'm the same way. I get caught up in my pride. I need to be right. I'm judgmental. I refuse to overlook someone's mistakes. We all do this. We find ourselves caught in this. Caught in patterns that we've justified over time. We need a greater love than that. We need God's love to mend what's broken in the relationships that were brought to us, our kids, overcoming our pride, keeping our kids close to us and through us to the Lord. Okay, let's read more. Verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is the surprise of the parable. It's not just that he accepts his son without reprimand. It's that he restores his son to who he was before he ever left. The son's sins, however great, and they were pretty big here, haven't changed anything in his eyes. The son's not just forgiven, he's lifted up by the father. Not just a display of affection, it's a restoration to who he always was and to who he was meant to be. Because the person that the father sees him as is the person that he is, not the person he pictures in his own mind who's not worthy. The father sees him as he actually is. He is not his sin. He's not his failure. He's washed clean, and his identity is restored because of his father's love. Father's love forgives failure and restores us to who we were meant to be. Because when we fail and feel worthless, what we need to know, all of us and our kids, is that we have not lost our father's love. Our children need to know that. No matter what they do, no matter how badly they mess up, no matter how badly they hurt us by messing up, we need to see them as the people that God intended them to be. And then we need to help them come back to that. When they turn back, we restore them. We lift them up. And if they're going to turn to the Lord, they can be the people that they're meant to be. And if we fathers commit our way to the Lord and turn to Him, we can be the fathers that we're meant to be. And all of us, as God's children, if we'll submit to Him and trust Him and turn to Him, we're all going to be the people we were created to be. But as dads, I'll tell you, it's not easy sometimes, because you're dealing sometimes with attitude, disobedience. It gets worse, I think, exponentially through teenage years. You're dealing with disrespect. And what your kids don't know, you know, sometimes you're having a rough day. Life's not going great for you. Maybe you keep it from them. You know, you've got burdens and worries. And so you react sometimes to the things that you get from your kids. But you have to remember that we have a greater purpose. We have a transforming purpose, opportunity in the lives of our kids. Okay, last section. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry. He refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Hey, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So the Pharisees, they're the older brother in this parable, rejecting the sinners who are clinging to Jesus because they so desperately need to be redeemed as the children of God, in spite of their sins. And you look at the older brother and think maybe he's the bad guy here, but you know, he's just reacting the way anybody would to this. That's not the surprise of the parable. The surprise is the father. Because he knows what the younger son did, and it doesn't matter to him at all. It's the thing that makes no sense to the world around us, the love of God. You can talk about it. People don't get it. Love's conditional in this life. But the love of God, it's hard for us to offer it. And it's hard for us to receive it ourselves. Because what the son needs and what the father offers is a love that surpasses failure and hurt and pain and restores people to their true identity in Christ. It's not fair. The older son's right. It's not fair. But love isn't about fairness. Love is grace. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. And we can't offer it to our kids unless we receive it from our Father by going to Him wherever we're at and repenting. To offer them grace, we have to accept it. I failed in many ways, and I've been disappointed at myself at times. But my hope is in Him, in His forgiveness and love. And my calling is to receive that and give that to my kids. That's why I'm here. So I need to finish the story I started about Logan. She said, "Do you still love me?" I was surprised to hear this out of her mouth. Just such a little person. And I got down on my knees and I put my hands on her face. I said, "Baby, I'll always love you. It doesn't matter what happens. You'll never lose that." And she stopped shaking and held on to me. God has His hands on your face and He's looking into your eyes and He's holding you still. And He's reminding you how much He loves you. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your life or what mistakes you've made. He's right there. But here's the image I want to leave you with. Because I know there's something in front of you. I don't know what it is. There's some fear or worry that's in front of you. Something that's burdening you. Maybe you're trying to control it. Maybe you're trying to figure a way to work it out. Maybe it's disappointment and you've got loneliness. Something that's bringing you down. Maybe you're caught up in something that you know you shouldn't be in and you need to get out. And it's just drawing all your attention and all your energy. Stop. And look back. A ways off, someone standing there with his arms outstretched, Someone who loves you beyond anything you can possibly know, asking you to come to him. Let me pray. Lord, I pray for the men here that are fathers. Lord, we've made mistakes. Some of us have little kids, and we're going to make mistakes as they get older. I pray that you would already build a conviction in our lives to be like you, to reflect your love, to follow you knowing that the path we take is the path our kids will take. Pray for that calling, that burden, and I pray you give us the strength to do that as we face so much challenge in life ahead of us, Lord. Soften our hearts. Give us your love. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mike. And in response to the message, we're going to sing this song. And we say,
you are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sins. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you left us lost its sting. And no, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are more, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever. Sing no other name, and we say, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. And no, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reign. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever.
Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We've left our homes to come to this place, God, to worship you in spirit and truth. Jesus, we've come as disciples to learn at your feet today. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that fell upon our brother Mike and how he spoke the word of God. Jesus, we want to thank you that you have explained to us the love of the Father to us through the story of the prodigal son. Jesus, we want to thank you how you have communicated to humanity of how God deals with our shame, how God deals with our rebellion towards him. As we repent and come back to the Father. Thank you, Lord, how you show us that you would restore us. And you restore us into your love and restore our identity. Holy Spirit, I pray for all of those that might be prodigals in this room this Sunday morning. God, there are people here who have known you and have walked away in their hearts, in their actions, in their attitudes. And whatever season that they find themselves in that rebellion, God, maybe there are those that are here today that have just come to their senses and have said, I'm done. I want God back. Holy Spirit, would you just stir this message into their heart? As their eyes are closed, may they see the vision of their Father waiting in the distance with his arms open wide. Would you speak to them today? May they hear your voice. Come home. With everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you here today, would you raise your hand to heaven as a sign to God that you want to come home to the Father? If this message is for you this morning and you know it, if the Spirit of God is just convicting you concerning sin and righteousness, judgment, if you need to do business with God, then do it right now. And do it with tears, with a broken and contrite heart. The Lord hears your prayers, and the Lord hears your heart, and the Lord today restores you. The Lord today removes your shame. And the Lord today restores you as his child. The Lord God loves you. And the best life you can have, friends, is the one he has planned for you. So be at peace with the Lord today, all you who desire so. May you all be at peace today, all you who desire to be at peace with God and come to him open and cleanly. And can we just sing this chorus again? My heart will say, no other name but Jesus. My heart will say. If that's your prayer this evening, then sing it this morning.
My heart will say, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will say, no other name, let's all stand. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light up the world, forever reign. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light up the world, forever reign.
The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon all of you today. May the Lord give his countenance upon each and every one of you. And may God give to you what this world will never give. May the Lord God Almighty give you shalom. May God give you peace as you come to him. So the Lord bless you, brothers and sisters, this day. He knows you by name. He loves you. Every hair on your head is counted. Did you know that? The Lord's thoughts toward you are like the grains of the sand upon the sea. You are special to him. You are his children. He knows you, and he is your father, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Go in peace with God today. Go with the joy of the Lord, and may God's joy be your strength. Hey, fathers, happy Father's Day. And can we just tell God, our Father, happy Father's Day to him? Can we give God a praise? Can we just tell him, happy Father's Day, our Father who is in heaven. Happy Father's Day, Lord. You all are dismissed. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.